I'm Tom. That's Mike, who literally just said okie dokie as we were starting to record. Literally said okie dokie. We are Mike and Tom together collectively. And on the line is a gentleman who is Berwyn, Illinois' favorite son. And true story, I spent my wife's birthday with this guy. Dr. Keith Lipinski of Dr. Keith Presents on FRWOnline.com, which I believe he has now appeared on this show more than that show in the past 8 years.
The riches that you guys have offered me with the gold, the frankincense, myrrh, and also some sort of Fannie Mae melt-away ice cream. It's really good, of course, guys. This isn't live, right? I mean, this is just a rehearsal. As soon as
yes.
we actually do this, it's going to be awesome, right?
So, of course. We do dress rehearsals of every episode, so don't worry.
Writing down right now. I'm going to sit there and write down. Don't say melt away, because it's very hard on the tongue. But yes, it is I, Dr. Keith Lipinski, joined here with Mike and Tom of Mike and Tom Presents, a fantastic site, which, of course, you know because you're listening to the show here. And this is some breaking news audio, of course, on the dismissal of John Cena from the World Wrestling Entertainment. Mike, obviously, you called me crying earlier on. Your thoughts on this, please?
I don't know. I'm still trying to find the words, I guess, on John Cena. No, actually, I'm kind of sad. I think people are kind of hard on John Cena, but I'll get to that later, I guess.
Which is a funny choice of words if you've ever seen that picture on the internet during the Trish Stratus match where John Cena's pants were pitching a tent. You said hard on, Mike. You said hard on. I'm just picking on you tonight because I'm a bully. And Daniel Bryan would not approve of me.
No. And neither would Vince. But we can go on all day on a perspective on jean shorts and pants tents, gentlemen. But you wanted me on the show to talk about last night's epic money in the event.
Yeah, you were at the Rosemont Horizon. Or at least it'll be the Rosemont Horizon in my eyes for the rest of... as long as I refer to that building anyway. I think Billy Corgan called it the same thing, so the famed Rosemont Horizon. And what would this be for you, I guess, like in terms of like WWE pay-per-views that you've been there? Like this was what? Because were you at Survivor Series 89?
I was at Survivor Series 89. My parents took me straight from the William Tell Inn in beautiful countryside Illinois after Thanksgiving dinner. Because it was the Thanksgiving night tradition.
Yes, yes.
And so I believe in wrestling tradition, gentlemen, and this is one of the few survival series that I sit there and say, yes, this was one, because, of course, I had my Hulk Rules bandana, my Hulk Rules T-shirt. I believe I was wearing an orange Ultimate Warrior T-shirt underneath. I changed in, of course, the dressing room, and that was the night I got a Hacksaw Jim Duggan foam 2x4, and that was also the night I met Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I believe it was Cousin Luke of the Bushwhackers, because my parents dropped me off at the show with my sister, who was wearing her Rockers T-shirt. I was not wearing mine, of course, because that would have looked dumb. But they met us at the hotel afterwards, and, of course, there was, of course, Luke and Hacksaw Jim Duggan enjoying some adult beverages, maybe some medicine. I don't know about that. I mean, it was the 80s. It's a different time for us all, especially these two guys who probably weren't even born yet. And, of course, I got their autographs on a cocktail napkin, and somewhere or other I lost the cocktail napkin from the way out of the hotel bar to, of course, my home in Berwyn. I was at that show. I wasn't at WrestleMania 13, a great, great wrestling regret of mine. I was, though, at the pay-per-view that they did where it was Batista versus the Great Khali in the Punjabi prison match. And it was great because the biggest pop of the night was Batista, like, jumping a few feet. So the most athletic thing Batista's ever done, and that includes his MMA training. So,
see, Mike, you should be jealous because Keith and I are both members of the Punjabi prison club, as I have seen a Punjabi prison match live also.
Really?
So, yes. Wow. The Great American Bash in 2006. Yes.
That was in Indianapolis, right?
Yes, it was the Elevated Liver Enzyme show.
Okay.
Where we literally had a kid almost in tears when we told him that Bobby Lashley was not going to be on the show.
he wasn't going to be on the show.
No.
Did that have – we're going to go off on a tangent. I don't – never mind. I'll say it for another day. I'm sorry. But anyway.
Go ahead.
That had the London and Kendrick Pitbulls match.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to remember. Just because that's how I remember those, which show is which show, because of, like, they had, like, these little, like, weird mini matches. Like, there was, like, a Great American Bash that had the random Mordecai match on it, you know, or whatever. And but anyway, we'll talk about that sometime.
Those were the brand exclusive pay-per-views where you just knew that you were paying. It was just a big mistake and a waste of your money.
Exactly.
As the little kid beside me put it, Simon Dean wrestled Chusaki in the pre-show dark match. We corrected him about 7 times, and he did not want to change his ways.
Fans like that are why wrestling fucking rules, guys. So the belief is there. And I think the probably the biggest pay-per-view that I've been to at that palace of wrestling known as the Allstate Arena, where, you know, WCW ran there for a while in the 90s. WWE has been basically its home, other than a little sojourn to the United Center for about 2 years when Allstate Arena was becoming the Allstate Arena and it wasn't the Rosemont Horizon anymore. Probably the biggest event I was there was WrestleMania. It was the one with Cena and the debut of CM Punk as some sort of gangster rapper versus the King Triple H, and of course Mark Henry versus Undertaker as well in some sort of casket match. I was going to say 22 or 23. After about 21, I just really stopped.
Yeah, I'll go together.
I don't want to say stop paying attention, but it's a little harder for me to remember stuff now. But probably because
Same building as Spring Stampede 94, which, like, I mean, 18 years later almost, or 17 years later, it's still, like, one of the best pay-per-views ever. You know what I mean? If you really go back and watch it. I mean, it's – were you at that show or no?
Sadly, I was not.
Oh, you were not. I hate to rub it in then, but you were at Halloween Havoc 90, correct? At least I do remember you were at that.
Okay. Are you kidding? When Barry Windham came down, I was like, wow, this thing got taller. And I was very, very high at that show. You know, I didn't know it was Barry Windham, but I knew something was up. And I just wish they would have wrestled around more in balloons. That's my biggest
problem. Oh, I love that. Keith, man, you had to lose your shit when that happened. Because, like, if you go back and watch that, like, that's why I always defend that fake Sting angle. Because people in Chicago, man, they were, like, going crazy when Sid bit Sting and won the title. Like, people didn't know what to think. And, like, all the balloons and the confetti went down. That was awesome. I love
it. You got to remember, though, I mean, and this is something that not a lot of people get a perspective on. When WCW ran shows in Chicago, they ran the USC Pavilion, where I went to school. Mm. And it's in a darker urban neighborhood. And the people that would go to the WCW were much older, usually, and more feisty than the WWE fans. For instance, there was a man there. And this man would be in the front row of every WCW show. He was a smaller African American man. I would say that he sort of looked like our good friend Sweet Sapphire, R.A.P. He would wear a black tracksuit, a black and yellow tracksuit that said Buddy Rose, Freebird Buddy Roberts Wrestling Academy. And he would come to the front row with a tote bag, and inside the tote bag was pieces of women's underwear. And I don't mean, like, sexy, like, ooh, thongs or stockings or anything like that. This guy had these big, huge-ass granny panties, and whenever the heels came down, he would hold them up high. That was basically a good description of what the crowds were like for WCW shows. So Sid was over his fuck that night. Like, Sid's people were very happy to see that pretty boy lose. I mean, you know, hell, I mean, I just remember watching the Nasty Boys versus the Steiner Brothers from Halloween Havoc that year, and just that was it. That was probably, you know, as much as, like, Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan got me in the world of wrestling, the Steiner Brothers and the Nasty Boys beating the living shit out of each other made me the wrestling fan I am today. That being said, last night was better than Halloween Havoc, though.
Okay.
The main reason why is because there was not – Halloween Havoc was a great show, don't get me wrong. Here's the thing about last night. Everyone that was there, you know, no matter what, knew that it was an event. It wasn't just some random B-show, per se, but this was something that people were incredibly excited about. People wanted to sit there and see what was going to happen. I mean, the WWE, we'll give them shit until the cows come home. At the same time, they sparked something magical happened here between John Cena and CM Punk and Vince McMahon over the last few years that actually created interest. It actually had, and I know this is going to sound odd to a lot of people, wrestling fans sort of excited, and more importantly, even smart wrestling fans like ourselves wondering, okay, well, what's going to happen now? In the age of the internet and the age of everything else that we have going on in our lives, there was something about this angle, and I blame the players playing their roles perfectly, that really just sparked the imagination of so many people. No one in business could have done the promo CM Punk did. Why? Because he has that credibility. He has the fact that he's always sort of, you know, beat to a different drum and such, that he was the only one that could do that. Because if anyone in TNA cut that promo, you'd just be like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, like, that's okay. They'll be jobbing to Jim Carrey as the Riddler soon enough. You know, like, it was just everyone that was in there, you know, the Cena fans were loud, but the Punk fans were a lot more vocal. And it was just even before the show. I got in the show, and, like, already it's maybe 30 minutes to bell time, and already there's a CM Punk chant. I mean, you know, and then every once in a while someone would go woo, and that was pretty cool because, of course, you know, we all miss Ric Flair and his wrestling antics and, more importantly, his lottery cards. But it was awesome to be there, and just everyone just wanted to see, like, all the signs were for Punk. I mean, it was just, you could just tell that once Punk came out that, you know, it's something, it was just going to be an ovation to remember. And then Randy Orton, you know, RKO Christian twice and got stole from Punk's pop, but no, I'm kidding. It was the right thing at the right time. And I was sort of worried when I got to the show that they were actually going to sort of ruin it by have Punk doing a promo beforehand. But no, they knew that Punk couldn't sit there and turn this crowd, that they were going to have an ovation. You know, you can sit there and you can control audiences up to a bit, and no matter what they could have done, I mean, what was Punk going to do? Piss on Wrigley Field? That he would get such a huge pop for doing that, especially for me. So, you know, it was a you know, just all in all, it was a very, very good show. I didn't even mind the women's match because I was too busy getting lemonade and licorice during it. And that's not a euphemism for drugs, kids.
I'm jealous because I've never gotten lemonade at an arena before. I'm very jealous that it was available.
Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing. I recently moved to the Chicago suburbs, so I'm about 3 miles away from the Allstate Arena. I was dropped off by my wife and my son, who the son was driving, of course, at the show. And I'm like, wow, I could, you know, drink if I want to and not have to worry about driving or any of this nonsense or traffic, fighting the traffic outside the Allstate Arena. And more importantly, one of the two or three fights that you usually see outside the arena after shows for overintoxicated people and their kids just being horrified later on when talking about this 10 years later in therapy. By the way, I saw one fight last night outside. It was awesome. But it was just, you know, it's just like, no, okay. So I didn't have any booze whatsoever last night, you know, clean living and such. So anyway, long story short, I walked 1 mile home, and then I decided, well, you know what? It's hotter than hell out here. I'm going to run the rest of the way home. And ended up falling and bleeding and sweating and everything else. So the good lesson here, kid, is don't do exercise, like, ever. Thank you. I'm kidding. Ron, it's good, but just make sure you're in a well-lit area and make sure that you sleep nicely. But
just stay home.
We were talking about fans outside the Allstate Arena rioting, but it was. I don't know if you guys noticed this or not. When Cena came out, his music was actually turned up 3 times during him coming down to the ring. So it was like, it was a thunderous ovation of boos. And I mean, there were some certain people that were cheering him. I call these people idiots. No, I'm kidding. They have the right to enjoy the John Cena, because without a doubt, guys, and you know this as well as I do, John Cena to those people is what Sting is to my generation. Or it's basically, he is the excited, happy guy. He's not a horrible worker. He can have good matches with lots of varying opponents. You know, and, you know, he's a pretty boy, and soon he will be Crow Cena, and it will fucking rule. So he'll just be sitting there Because no one's doing that gimmick right now, so might as well have someone do that. So,
see, I love Sting, and I guess it's because, like, when you were saying before, like, for Survivor Series 89, I was born in 84, so I would be 6 at the time, say, I guess, around when Havoc 90 was. And I guess being, like, you know, 6 years old and, you know, around that age is when you really first, like, you know, take to some guys, and Sting was one of those guys. So I guess maybe Cena would be a good comparison. I just think, like, the whole you can't wrestle chants are kind of bullshit, because obviously the guy can. I just think, like, that's kind of like one of these smart mark kind of chants more than it is like a boo you suck kind of heel chant. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's just the one thing I think that just kind of irritates me. But
well, they know that hurts.
Yeah.
They know that hurts him deep down inside. Like,
yeah, right. He goes home and cries about it.
Boxers. So that's what hits the most. Like, if I sat there and called Tom, and no offense here, Tom, a Degrassi poser, like, he wouldn't like that. That's hitting him right in the jugular. Like, I don't want to do that.
Dude, I'm going to cry tears upon tears onto my Zit Remedy shirt now. Onto my Zit Remedy cassette tape.
The homemade Zit Remedy t-shirt? Now let me ask you, is it the yellow one with wheels on it? And is he wearing the glasses, or are the glasses painted over like shades?
Dude, not only are the glasses on, but so is his amazing ponytail that he had in the first season of Degrassi High. That is like the most horrible haircut I've ever seen. And is what caused his parents to die.
His parents died, okay. He's allowed to have a really bad haircut and those glasses. So, You know, you think those glasses would help him get more scholastic? No. Oh, it might have been the fact he really enjoyed playing Konami's The Man of That Wrestling Game, which should eventually be on that Joe Gagné Super Video Game Power Hour, which I love. And
trust me.
One day see myself on.
Oh, and for that, you're on the next episode. So I'm making Joe write a Keith Lipinski joke. It'll probably have something to do with height. We'll find the tallest character in the game and just call him Dr. Keith. By the way, while I have the floor, so to speak, I have a question, because I'm looking at a picture on Facebook of the meet and greet. Were you at the meet and greet? Because the picture, you know, I think you know the picture I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yes, I do. That gentleman
is a friend of mine.
It's our friend.
You gotta fill the third person in on this. What?
Keith and I have a friend named Ken who was also at the Money.
Fantastic gentleman.
Yes.
Fantastic. Stroke him. So.
Yes. And we'll plug the Twitter and we'll throw the picture. It'll be the picture on the main page when we throw this up.
I got you.
But he was at the meet and greet and he got a picture taken with Zack Ryder. And I honestly, it looks like Ken is about ready to kick Zack Ryder's ass. Like, Ken looks like, who is this Mark? Get him away from me. And Zack Ryder's just like, I'm pointing at Ken. Because I'm a big fan of Ken.
Oh, Keith, you know what this reminds me? We got to talk about didn't you stay at, like, the hotel at WrestleMania 22 that all the wrestlers were at, too, right? Weren't you part of that?
Oh, yeah. I was downstairs when that was all going down.
When, like, Capital City Kyle, I remember this was one of the first Figure Four dailies I ever listened to ever, was, like, this was back in, like, what, 2005? You know,
WrestleMania 22 days.
Yeah. When he flipped that on a cup, and I guess you were right there or something like that, he was talking all about Keith Lipinski, and I remember thinking, oh, Keith Lipinski, who the hell is that? And here I am talking about my podcast. But we'll talk about that for another day, because I'm sure there's a lot of crazy stories about that, but... Anyway.
Yes. I just wanted to get that in, because this is one of the best pictures I've ever seen of a fan with a wrestler.
I know. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's
a very good picture. I'm a little sore because I was trying to worm my way into the meet and greet, and sadly it did not work. Because Ken and I have a mutual friend by the name of Sox, who I'm going to put over right here.
Sox! Sox, dude, you got to listen to this dude talk. It's awesome.
Sox rules. I love Sox with a passion. I'm going to do a Sox impersonation right here. For people that don't know, this is what this guy Sox sounds like. And he's all over ChicagoProWrestling.com, the fantastic message boards there and such. So, but whenever he does a post, they're better if you read them as him. So, hey, Dr. Keith, why isn't Mike Quackenbush on the card at the Shikara show? Like, he literally sounds like he has, you know, has smoked most of his adult life. And yes, at least I don't think so. You know, other than the weed. So,
yeah.
But yeah, Ken, Ken got in through Sox and Sox's hot wife and let Dr. Keith on the Colt. And then when I saw that picture of course, Zack Ryder, you know, I felt a little sad. But then Ken told me about what else was going on in the meet and greet and the free Skittles, and then I just got angry. So yeah,
it looked like a very eventful meet and greet where Dolph Ziggler is posing in the background with Rich Swann, obviously, because I'm racist and all black people.
From Japan. Yes. And by the way, free Skittles was not my term for the Pella Twins. But anyway.
Oh, Bellas.
So you guys want some stories from the pay-per-view. So
yes.
We could talk and we could go through match by match. Money in the Bank ladder match, the SmackDown variety, I thought was good because the guys all didn't start with fucking ladders. It didn't seem like it would end up in some sort of wacky comedy. Danielson winning surprised a whole lot of people. I was sort of surprised because my hearing was blown because I was sitting right by the WWE pyro, and that pyro would be very loud, gentlemen. Like, it was just not, you know, good. The one thing I really, about this match that I really noticed being there live is the fact that Kane looks just very normal now. I mean, he's a big guy, don't get me wrong, but there's nothing, you know, no mask, no bad makeup, no bad hairpiece or anything like that. He just seems like a really big, like, he just seemed like a really big old dude to me. So, you know, therefore I expect, because Ed being a really big old dude, I expected him to win. But I was very happy that he didn't. While watching the match, the one thing that hit me really nicely in the old breadbasket was the fact that I just watched Mystico give Bryan Danielson a one-man Spanish fly in a WWE ring in the year in a show headlined by CM Punk, and that made me, the indie wrestling fan in me, very, very proud. And then, of course, I, you know, threw the rest of my money away on buying IWA itself. So,
yes. Precious, the movie, was about a girl without a family, and she apparently was so mad about that family not being around that she broke the Big Show's ankle. Is that racist?
It was a little. Okay, my favorite thing about this match, and this hasn't been reported anywhere, so I'm sitting there, and are you guys familiar with the story that happened a few weeks ago? Fireman is at a Texas Rangers game.
Oh, yeah,
And, you know, he basically, there was a firefighter, and he was there with his kid, and the outfielder threw the ball towards the dad. The dad fell over, the kid saw it and everything like that. As a father, that story freaks the living shit out of me.
Oh,
so anyway,
yeah.
I'm sitting there, I'm watching this whole Big Show versus Mark Henry match, and I'm like, you know, I enjoyed it. It wasn't horrible per se. I mean, it was what you would expect from those two behemoths in the year 2011. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and I'm right by, I'm like the first aisle from the floor. Like, I'm right next to, like, the soundboard and everything else, where one of the sound guys was watching the Yankees game for most of the show. Anyway, so I look, and all of a sudden I see some guy fall. And I'm just like, where the fuck did he fall from? Like, I'm looking up around and such. There's a guy that's right behind him. He sort of touches him on the shoulder, and then he sees me looking at him, and then he sort of runs off. It was the weirdest thing, because I think he had to set up someone's pyro or something was going on. And this woman runs down, runs by the soundboard. She's like, oh, I'm a nurse and such. And there's a guy on the floor, and she's basically helps this guy on the floor. Someone, it was a WWE stagehand that passed out during the show, during the pulmonizing of the Big Show. And it was just, you know, the real-life paramedics came in, so that apparently that's why they used the extra small stretcher on the Big Show. But it was like, oh, great, this can't be good, and thankfully everything was okay. But it was just really creepy just to, you know, after, you know, seeing the video of that guy fall, that all of a sudden this guy is falling. I'm just like, was someone up in the rafters or something that fell down? It just got really, really creepy by my area. And, you know, luckily it only took me 2 minutes to recover. But
yeah.
It was very odd, because it was just like, well, what would they do if this happened? Would they, you know, continue with the show? I mean, they probably wouldn't, because there's a precedent there, but it's different when it's like a stagehand as opposed to, you know, an IC champion. or contender.
Yeah. Yeah, the challenger.
Well, they couldn't air footage of, let's say, the stagehand setting up the lights before the show to cover for this. And then Jerry Lawler goes over and checks on him, because that's what Jerry Lawler does. He checks
on him. Jerry Lawler was too busy with the 28-man announce team. So I really, by the way, wouldn't it just be better just to have one big desk for them all and then just break it down into pieces? It could be like Naked Gun and, you know, flying Dr. Joyce Brothers for a visual, you know, gimmick every once in a while. You know, come on.
Or
Dr. Joyce Brothers.
What was the name of Sue Johansson's character in Degrassi Junior High? What was her name? A doctor? She worked at the radio station. Yes, Dr. Sally, who was a big fan of the Zit Remedy.
She heard the tape. It was really, really good.
Yes.
But Joey seemed like a really shitty tender, so...
Yeah, he wouldn't empty wastebaskets.
Yeah. How many times did I tell you to empty those waste paper baskets, you know? It doesn't matter. The Zit Remedy was sort of on a leave anyway. I mean, you know, if anything, they should have, like, held up the position for a bassist, like, you know, and then all of a sudden Simon shows up and, like, is taking away their fine girls like Stephanie Kay and Alexa, and, you know, being the dude from the Super Crush Delight commercial and then ending up being the dude? I mean, come on.
Oh, Stephanie Kay, all the way.
You know, I saw a recent picture of Stephanie Kay. I don't know if I'd still go all the way.
I don't blame
you. I probably would. I'd probably be thinking about, you know, like a... Yeah, the problem is you don't want to think of her during those times because she was probably not legal. So just be... It's torturous being an adult thinking about going all the way with Stephanie Kay. But when I was 15, it was totally fine. So...
Yeah, it's more uncomfortable when your wife's in the room with you while you're thinking.
Oh, totally. Like, she's shooting me daggers, as the kids say. Literally, she shoots them out of her eyes, and it's awesome.
Oh. So.
Nice. Like Cyclops. But anyway.
Oh.
But anyway, have we talked about the girls' match yet? I'm guessing no.
We did before we started recording, and I think that's how it'll sit. We really don't need to...
Yeah, though... Keith,
I didn't talk about the Eve sign to the people though. There was
go get
a lemonade and some candy because I'm 4 years old during that match. And there was a guy that was a few rows above me, and I believe he was sitting by Robert Anthony Ego, the former CZW champion, and he had created a sign for Eve that was exquisite. I mean, it was a beautiful, beautiful sign. Lots and lots of work came into this. And my only thought was, wow, this guy really, really likes Eve. And then also the fact that he really spent a lot of time today on this sign, not even knowing that she'd be on the show, like that she'd be showing up and showing off her breasts. So, Godspeed, Eve fan. Godspeed to you.
I think he might be in Green Bay tonight because there was a giant sign up during the girls' match tonight that said, Eve keeps it real. And it was up during the entire match, even though Beth Phoenix was the only quote-unquote good girl that was in the ring the entire time.
But was Beth Phoenix keeping it real, Tom?
She did keep it real. She decided that Rosa Mendez was a goof who wouldn't go up for a suplex, so she gave her a slingshot suplex.
Oh my goodness. At any time that someone does a slingshot suplex, you know, obviously, the angel earns its wings.
And the fact that Rosa Mendez was the one that took the suplex says something about the state of wrestling in 2011.
Now, as long as she starts, as soon as that rookie AJ starts doing the Steiner screwdriver, I will be right with the world.
Yes. Speaking of all this right with the world, Andy Levine is on TV right now.
The
camera was so close you could see his boogers. It was gross. And now they're showing pictures of rocks. Yeah. This is so confusing.
How was Daniel Bryan? How was the opener with the what was it? SmackDown Money in the Bank? Keith
already had
it. It was very. I believe we already touched upon it. It was very good. It was
maybe the
was
Raw
a fun little match.
I meant the Raw one.
The Raw one. The Raw one was just like when they all came to the ring with ladders. It was just like okay. And it was like, is this going to really go into chicken contest territory? I liked it. I thought it was a fun match. It was cool seeing live, but it was sort of dangerous at the same time. And I mean, there were a lot of things, like the whole thing with Ray and Alberto on top of the ladder, where it seemed like something would happen in slow motion, and then it did happen in slow motion, and it was awesome. Funny note was the Ray's mask was thrown into like maybe about 10 feet away from where I was sitting, and it was a guy with maybe his wife and his kid. The wife and kid were both standing up. The father was just sitting down at the time and just got a mask in his lap. You know, it was just like, And then a WWE official came to him, and it seemed like they wanted the mask back, and they wanted to trade the mask for merchandise and everything else. So it was weird, because during the next match, which I think was Christian Orton, it was like watching a bargaining complex where they were just trying to get as much stuff as possible.
It was like Derek Jeter's 3,000th hit.
Yeah, y'all, totally. It was like everyone was like, yeah, this guy caught the mask, and he wasn't even doing anything. It just basically blocked his lap. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, like this larger WWE woman was, you know, like talking to this guy, and this guy, it seemed like it was a heated negotiation for a while, but it looks like all presided. And the weird thing is the kid that got the, did Ray do the gimmick where he goes up to a kid and gives him the mask over the mask?
I don't believe so.
Okay, cool. Because they had a kid that looked like he was wearing it, and I was just like, wow, Rey Mysterio must have a really, really small head. Although he looks very wide now, like Austin Aries 2004 wide.
Oh. So Keith. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tom.
I was going to ask, since I believe you were in attendance for this one also, how did the Money in the Bank matches compare to the other legendary ladder match in Chicago history, that being, of course, the 84-man ladder match from IWA Mid-South, so we're no joke?
You know what? There's a certain thing called emotion, Tom. And that night, and that venue, that awesome, awesome venue in Midlothian. Yeah, this was much better than that. The thing that would have made this better is if you could actually see the rope that was the IWA contract was swinging from. And the sad thing is, no one Merrick braved themselves. I mean, there was a few moments with Jack Swagger and Kofi Kingston where we were hoping possibly something would happen, and then the slow-moving spot of ladders falling. But it basically seemed like the rest of the, you know, Raw guys were playing Jenga with ladders, and that's always fun. So, no, it was not on the par of We're No Joke, but just as entertaining for the right reasons as opposed to the wrong reasons. Did Rick O'Shea win that?
No, Darren Corbin won that.
Because
that dastardly Chris Hero came out and was like, Trick Davis, you are not allowed to win title matches or shots at titles even. And then Tyler Black got up and danced in the crowd with socks, because that's what Tyler Black did.
Yes, that is socks right there. Socks was a big fan of the mosh gimmick, as we all were. Yes. So, God bless socks, and God bless moshing, and God bless ROH, or IWA, whatever. They're all
that's wrong. To quote Spike Dudley, fuck ROH. And then he looks in another direction, because he sees four of the same person. I'm not saying anything. I'm not making any accusations towards Mr. Dudley. But
well, once you've loved and lost, like he has with Molly Holly, yeah, no wonder Ross called her Granny Panties. But anyway, I enjoyed the Raw. I thought the SmackDown Money in the Ladder match was better, because I think it was just, it was sort of unexpected who was going to win. I mean, because most people were going Sheamus. Sheamus got a huge, huge pop. You know who got a surprisingly very good ovation last night was The Miz. That guy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, like even when he came in and such, you know, they did that very well. They did it. There was a lot of great little nuances they did last night that would make, you know, smart, jaded wrestling fans like myself happy. And, or, you know, like, oh, I could see this coming from a mile away. Miz is going to come out. Oh, Miz doesn't win. Okay, I could see that. And Bryan Danielson, you know, winning, you know, a title, or not a title, but winning a shiny briefcase. And, only, you know, and then, of course, the big thing is, oh, my goodness, Punk said he was the best wrestler in the world. We know that's not the case. We know there's Bryan Danielson here. He's going to challenge Punk later on. And then, of course, remembering, wait a second, you know, people from, you know, one show can't challenge the other show unless it's convenient. Okay, that suits it. So,
See, I'm sad that didn't happen just because we would have gotten the Vince McMahon ear twitch deal, which is about my favorite thing in professional wrestling. When Vince gets so mad that he has to grab his ear.
But I got to see Johnny Ace get beat down twice, and him and Vince form the new version of the Dynamic Dudes. So really, it's a win-win for everyone. Why not?
If only Vince comes back to fight somebody, and Johnny Ace trains him on skateboards to the smooth sounds of Don't Worry, Be Happy.
And you know what's great? I was thinking about this today. Shane Douglas, like, during during our video shoots and, like, ECW Cyber Slam convention tapes and everything else. Like, if you know, I just remember Shane always sitting there saying, you know, I didn't skateboard. If you noticed, Johnny was the only one that didn't skateboard. And, you know, look at where they are now, like, each gentleman.
Well, that's the job interview at WWE, is you have to get on a skateboard and then wrestle a match.
And also wear Ruse shoes. You know, yes. Ruse shoes for your feet, pockets for your stuff.
That's why Brad Bradley keep his job, is because they told him, skateboard test now. He was not prepared. He was wearing Crocs, and he just couldn't do it. And they're like, sorry, get out of here, Bradley J.
Fuck
Jay Bradley. Or Ryan
Paddock. You know what's weird? A friend of mine actually watched the pay-per-view with Brad, and Brad's pretty much out of the business now. So, you know, I don't think we've seen Brad since that match he had in Chicago versus where he almost killed Mike Seidel. So,
didn't he wrestle Kyle O'Reilly? He wrestled Kyle O'Reilly in AEW, I think, and then I really haven't seen him that much after.
Which, oddly enough, the way things work, Shane Douglas is just at AEW. And there's a match he called that's on YouTube where he doesn't know what's going on. So he just, like, interrupts Derek St. Holmes every 30 seconds to go, this is what ECW was like. And then Sox hits him over the head with the chair because he stole his gimmick.
Mm. He's hardcore.
Yes, very much so.
Dick but, Flip. Yeah, I think the SmackDown had the more spectacular moves and such, and the Raw just seems at times. I mean, there was some great stuff. It was great.
Shooting Star Press off the ladder, you know, yeah. Like,
that was cool, and it was entertaining. It wasn't bad per se, but it just didn't have the emotion. The good thing about this show is I decided maybe 5 weeks ago to go before the Punk stuff sort of, you know, started spinning. It was like, okay, do I want to go to Pitchfork where it might be 1,000 degrees and see, you know, future, or do I want to sit there and see guys wrestle? And then I remember how good the Money in the Bank pay-per-view was last year and how much I do enjoy guys fighting over lovely briefcases. So, and more importantly, I was very happy because that means Miz can't use that damn briefcase gimmick anymore. So that made me incredibly happy because if anyone's going to use that gimmick, it should be someone that's paired up with Alexandria York that wants to be the computerized man.
Or somebody that won, that was part of the 1985 winning Super Bowl team. Don't forget about,
you know,
Mr. McMahon.
You know, I was thinking, like, this would have been, like, being in Chicago, this would have been the perfect opportunity to bring in Steve Mongo McMichael. You know what I mean? Bring him back.
He just worked an indie show, like, up in, like, that area.
I'm sure he's around. I see him on, like, the NFL Network from time to time.
It was Mongo, Skid Marks from Tough Enough, and Mad Men Pondo were the draws. That is a King of Trios team.
That is okay. That should be Team Dr. Keith next year. I'm going to sit there and write that down in my ideas that will never go anywhere book. So
well, Leonard F. Chikarson does listen to the show, so I'm sure he can send a self-addressed postcard to the Chikara office since he knows the address very well.
I think even though I have the power right now as one half of the dynamic duo that hosts the Chikara pre-show go-go, I don't think I still have the stroke in the company. So even after watching that awesome DVD from the Chicago show and really wishing that there could be a way that we can get a 360 view on the show so we can see, you know, how great of a crowd that was and what a great night that was for pro wrestling. So
I put it on real quick. I got the DVD on Friday because I think it went on sale. I don't know when it was. And living so close to Smart Mark, I ended up getting it Friday. So when I came back, I think I forgot to tell you this time. I put on the Del Rey Icarus match. I didn't really watch the whole show. I just put that match on just real quick just to kind of skim through it. And And I really like that building. I thought it was really cool.
Well, credit this guy here on the line.
Hey, Dr. Keith. Good job, yep. Buddy.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, the only thing is I did do commentary on the show. And
yeah, what match?
Fist versus Colony match. And okay. I realized I made a huge boo-boo during it, as my boy would say, boo-boo, daddy got boo-boo. as I said something about Chuck Taylor as he was biting, I believe, Soldier Ant's antennae, I said something to the fact that this is a family show, and I yelled Jesus really loud afterwards. And I just realized, okay, that doesn't really work so much with Chikara. And I also refer to the 12-large summit as the 10-large summit. So other than a few missteps, I was pretty happy with my performance, you know, nonetheless. But, yeah, it was a great show, great night. Chicago loved Chikara, and I was very happy to be a small cog in the Chikara product. So, yeah, if you haven't checked it out yet, it's a fun show. And the Fire Ant Mantis match was very, very good live and on the DVD. So, but guys, I think we should get back because I realize that we're almost up to an hour maybe, or it seems like 2 hours or so on this. And I think we could talk all day, but I think we should just talk about the last two matches last night.
Yeah, absolutely, real quick. Christian
versus Orton, I dug it because it was exactly what a great non-finish should be, where someone wins because the guy that's a babyface is too dumb to let his temper go. You know, it was one of those things where it once again proves that not only does Randy Orton have a really weird beard, he's a really, really weird babyface. Like, he is just not your epitome of great, you know, vanilla babyfaces. His interviews are sort of, but then, you know, he was entertaining. I liked their match last night. I think these two guys work incredibly well together. And I just think that the finish was exactly what they wanted to do. Like, I mean, and more importantly, I was just glad someone spit in someone's mouth on a PG-rated show.
Now, by the way, I wanted to mention that this match was great just because there's a picture on the internet of, I don't know how Randy did this. He crossed his own eyes and stuck his tongue out of, like, the corner of his mouth. And it ended up on the fake Hacksaw Jim Duggan Twitter. It is.
That was an awesome picture.
Yes.
And that's an awesome fake Twitter right there. You know, I really want to think that Hacksaw Jim Duggan, it's him actually doing it. He's just working us when it comes to that. So, I enjoyed the semi-main. I thought it was a very good match. And then CM Punk came out. Chicago lost its shit.
I was going to say, it was all kind of like, all right, this is great and all, but, you know, everybody kind of knew, like, what the main event was. You know what I mean? I think even the name of the show is Money in the Bank, and, you know, the focus wasn't even about, like, what the title of the show was. You know, it was obvious. I mean, it should have just been Cena versus Punk or something like that, you know, or whatever. I mean, obviously it was the main event. And I think it's kind of started, like, right at the hour, like, right at the top of the hour, too. So it pretty much for 50 minutes just kicked everybody's ass, so. How is this like? And I guess where does it rank in terms of all time, like in terms of, you know, favorite matches? Like we were talking about Sid and Sting and all that and, you know,
Sid and Sting. Come on, let's be real here. I would say it's up on par with Enforcers versus Kazmaier and Steiner. No, it was outstanding. I mean, it was a really, really good match. For those that, of course, chant, you can't wrestle at John Cena, hurting his feelings ever so much. Him and CM Punk had a damn dandy wrestling match last night, and it was exactly what the match should have been, where basically they played it off well. They did one of my favorite spots of all time, where the submission is applied, the guy goes towards the ropes, and then the guy breaks the submission, only to pull the guy in the middle. I remember Rock versus Chris Jericho, No Mercy, not the video game, 2000, I believe it was the match that they had at that show. If I'm off a year, excuse me, I have a child now, so please. You know, I just remember Jericho getting the balls and Rock making it ever so close to the ropes and then just pulling him in the middle and just being like, I just remember not really caring what anyone thought and just being so incredibly happy. And last night, I saw a lot of people that would sit there and, you know, would make fun of people calling people marks and such, basically marking the fuck out for this match and certain parts of it. And more importantly, at Johnny Gates, I mean. But No, it was great. It was exactly what it should be. The CM Punk t-shirt was usually over. I'm glad I didn't wait in line for an hour for it. But at the same time, now seeing people selling on eBay for $200 makes me really wish I still had my printing press. But it was exactly what it should have been. Lots of near falls, lots of great falsies. The attitude adjustment for the 2, 3, 4, 8, 7, 500 was just exactly what he wanted to be. And then it worked out very, very well. And of course, when Vince got on the headset, we had no clue what was going on, but we were pretty sure that someone was going to come out. And Del Rio, there was no reason for him to cash that in last night. I mean, Ray is the number one contender, as he mentioned. Like, there's no reason at all for that. So it was perfect. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say there was a perfect plex being thrown, because if there was, that'd be even more perfect, or some sort of, you know, game of billiards. But it was exactly what it should have been, where basically Punk got over in Chicago and basically Punk fucked the system again and basically showed Vince what was going on, and of course led to the dismissal of John Cena and hopefully the return of Juan Cena Jr., Juan's cousin, I believe, from Tijuana. But it was just a great thing. The ovation when Punk came up was one thing, but when he hit the GTS and basically got the free count, everyone was losing their damn minds. And then, of course, but there was the thing, as soon as he won it, you're just like, everyone, it was weird because it was one of those moments where you're just expecting someone's music to show up or someone to run down real quick. So it took Del Rio like a few seconds to run down there, and then just that was exactly the way to go. Punk running through the crowd, you know, say what you will about him and such, but, you know, here's a guy that basically did what not a lot of people expect him to do. It's a guy, I'm going to like sort of like punk rock, you know, punk rock bands that get signed to a major, they possibly have to change their style, their sound. Punk really didn't change that much at all, other than not doing that Vandalay Silva thing with his wrist when he started and talking about Muay Thai and such. Punk didn't change that much and basically was the same guy that we knew in Ring of Honor in IWA Mid-South, a lot smaller. He was the same guy that I met in West Allis, Wisconsin in the year 2000 as I talked rock and roll, punk rock with him. And I looked down at his shoes, and his wrestling boot was tied up with a lot of duct tape on it. So that's the big thing I was thinking last night about how I felt very fortunate. And I think a lot of internet fans feel the same way, where we've sort of seen our little boy Punk grow up right in front of our eyes. And now he's a man with a world championship and, you know, taking pictures by murals of the great Chicago legend known as Chili Willie. So I enjoyed the hell out of last night. It was a fantastic night. It was, you know, just all in all, I'm not going to sit there and say it was the best pay-per-view of all time, but it was easily, it made up for a very disappointing WrestleMania this year.
And it'll be awesome when Punk comes back from his 30-day suspension, because, you know, he's addicted to competition.
I worry about that. It was true. You know? Nice. So is Sin Cara. Unfortunately, he took his full form.
Yes.
I will say right now as we're watching this, I don't know, Keith, are you watching Raw right now? I don't mean to spoil it if you are or not.
No, but go ahead and spoil me.
No, I was going to say right now they are having this tournament, and it is going to be Rey and Miz in the finals. So I am thinking Rey's going to win the title. So we'll find out if I'm right, because this will obviously be up after Raw is over.
Him getting booze last night was very unexpected.
That was very surprising. Awesome. Yeah, that was very surprising. I know it, you know, Chicago's like the... It's like how Philly used to be, where you know, you boo the heels and cheer the face, you know, or... Yeah. You know what I mean? I did not mean boo the heels. I mean cheer the heels and boo the faces. And I don't know if it was just a matter of that, but I mean, he seems to be getting booed here, and I'm thinking maybe they'll do Rey and Del Rio at SummerSlam. I think that might be like one of the big matches, one of the big three Conan million-dollar matches he has that he's not going to tell anybody. I don't know if you ever heard him on his interview with that, but I think that still could be a big match, so...
See, I think it's more likely that Ray's going to take off the mask and it's going to be CM Punk, and then AJ Styles will come out and beat him for the ROH Pure title.
If AJ Styles was in WWE...
Under
man,
pure rules, though.
Yes. So the only match middle. In the tournament. It was
well, gentlemen,
I love that match.
In 20 minutes here, but...
I know, yeah, I was going to say, that was a little bit... Exactly. But you know what? It's cool, Keith. We want to thank you so much, though, for coming on.
Hey,
obviously,
guys,
we asked you if you had anything to plug, but obviously there's Dr. Keith Presents. Alan does a fine job in your honor, I guess, in your name, interviewing the indie stars. I guess there's an interview with Green Ant right now that you could check out. I'll be at that show, too, the Chikar Source. If I can spit out there, Chikar Source Rex. I'll be there in Reading. Go see Johnny Kinnon versus Johnny Saint in 6 rounds and 5 minutes each. So that'll be.
Are you going to the arena as well?
I might be going to the arena as well. Actually, it's weird. I'm more interested in going to the Reading show, but I mean I might be at the Philly show on Sunday. So that'll be another good one. So
it should be. You should definitely go. So,
yeah, definitely.
But guys, seriously, we got to do this again sometimes, and
I agree. And thank you so much, though.
Reference that we can see what we can do with it.
Yes.
I think we should get one of those gigantic commentary tables like you suggested and get us and Alan and Rob Naylor and Leonard Chikarson and everybody on the same show, 30 Skype lines connected to support Hands Across America.
We'll get something.
And of course, we would have to end with a song.
Yes.
We'll do our own Christmas
show. In round.
We'll do our own Christmas show this year like Brian and Vinny used to do. We'll get Dr. Keith to come on our show, and we could tie in a bunch of people. That'll be
so it'll be the Dr. Keith Christmas show. In other
pretty
words,
pretty much. Besides, minus Jay Briscoe. So
yeah,
unfortunately. But thank you so for Keith coming on, man. We'll get you back on soon. So, Tom.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a fantastic night, and definitely keep on listening to this podcast because I enjoy the living crap out of it.
Thank you very much. You. Appreciate it, man.
So, I'm gonna go make love to my wife now.
Ah, very nice.
Oh, the married life.
And by that I mean probably to watch her sleep if I hear about. All right, guys, I'll talk to you later.
And with that, we are heading out officially. Thank you very much all for listening. We'll be back sometime soon.
Bye.